The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Lissadell House in Sligo is famous as the childhood home of Constance Markovitz and her sister Eva Gore Booth, and was an estate beloved and commemorated in many poems by W.B. Yeats. Now, following over 70 years of neglect, the house has been reformed, refurbished by its owners, and its various exhibitions, gardens and tea rooms are open to visitors. Well, to tell us all about the history of the house and its future, we're joined by Constance Cassidy, who along with her husband Eddie own Lissadell House. Constance, good morning and welcome.
Good morning and welcome to Sligo, Pat.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, tell me about the house itself before how you came into its ownership, because it's a venerable old house.
It's a venerable old house. I suppose to describe Lissadell, just before Eddie and I bought it, I have walked in the steps of Countess Markovic since we bought the place in 2003, and I have to explain to many members of the public why she was. For me, it's clear that Lissadell has been pivotal to the development of Ireland as a modern state as it is now, in so far as the fighting history is concerned, because Constance was instrumental in the preparation of the plans for the 1916 Rising.
Okay, now, before you do that, you're talking about Lissadell as part of her formation.
Yes.
So, can you describe her childhood? I mean, they were an Anglo-Irish family living in a big house with hundreds of acres of land surrounding them. I mean, was she a wild young one?
She was a very wild young one, and our commercial centre, which is the coach house, was where she became the foremost horsewoman in Ireland of her day. The thing about Constance that occurs to me and that I have walked away with today is she had a highly developed social conscience, which she inherited from her grandmother, who had soup kitchens during the famine, from her mother, and indeed from her father, who was one of the great landlords of the country, who really cared for his tenants. Because of that, and maybe despite it, she recognised social inequality. She despised the class in which she was reared, and fought against it, and fought with James Connolly, who she called her great hero love. And because of that, she left the place of wealth and privilege that she was brought up in. She went, she fought for her country, she wanted to free her country, she lived in poverty, and after she was sentenced to death, and then they
because she was female,
she managed to escape that, but I think she became very disillusioned with life. Because of that, I think that she would have been happier to give the ultimate price, and I think because of that she died very sad and very lonely at the end.
Yeah, well, she was very ill at the end. I mean, it was
a sudden illness.
How did she reconcile, you know, the disavowal of her family? I mean, her brother Jocelyn was still living in Lissadell, and her sister. I mean, did she still manage to talk to her family while being the very opposite of what they might have wanted for her?
When Eddie and I met Sir Jocelyn, who was her descendant, and we talked about Constance, and I told him that I'd been named after Constance because my father was a nationalist, he said, "We don't really mention the C word around here." I don't know if he meant what I thought he meant, but in any event, I imagine that her mother and her father would have raised their eyes to heaven thinking, why can't she just marry a nice Anglo-Irish gent and go off and have children and do what all of the ladies at that time did? She didn't want that. She absolutely rejected it. Her father paid for her to study at the Slade School and over in Paris, where she met Casimir. And interestingly, when she met Casimir and he asked her to marry him after he had quietly disposed of his first wife, then she wrote back to Jocelyn, her brother, and said, "You'll be happy. I'm marrying somebody with a title." So it did mean something to her.
Tell me about the relationship between Casimir and herself. I mean, he was there at her bedside at the time of
her death. Casimir loved her dearly, and she loved his son, Stanislaus, very dearly. They met as artists. They became very close immediately. They married and went back to Lissadell. They had their own little girl, Maeve Alice. Though Constance wasn't too involved in the rearing of Maeve Alice, I think it was her mother who was. I think she probably was a bit, maybe feisty for Casimir because eventually they separated. However, they did keep up a correspondence, and at the end, he was there.
Because it was, on the face of it, what she was involved with, a foolhardy exercise. I mean, going against the might of the British Empire, causing trouble.
Causing mayhem wherever she went.
So he wanted a quiet life.
He wanted a quieter life. I'm not sure he got what he looked for, but he certainly was very, very loyal to her. She did what she felt was right in her many poems and in her many treatises and all the times that she was in jail, very, very hungry, unwashed, living a terrible life. She still said, I'm fighting for my country's freedom. And she truly felt that. And yes, she would have been quite a difficult woman, I imagine.
Now, you're educating a whole generation into who Countess Markowitz was. At her time and when she died, and she was a founding member of Fianna Fáil, she was mourned by hundreds of thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands of people. We have a picture as you walk into the big house, as they still call Lissadel. You can see her funeral cortege. De Valera was there. The politicians, of course, were there to carry the coffin. However, the place was absolutely thronged. The entire of Dublin was thronged with the people that she helped. And the people she helped were the people who were underprivileged, who were poor, who had absolutely nothing. And that's what she did.
Not taking her seat, although elected to the British Parliament, becoming a cabinet minister in the first Irish government, she was a mould breaker.
She was a mould breaker. In fact, she was the first woman MP at all to sit or not sit, as the case may be, in the British Parliament. So she certainly was a trailblazer.
Now, you growing up with the name Constance, tell me how that informed what you ultimately did with Eddie, which was to buy Lissadel House.
That's a very long story.
No one was to know that it would come to market and that you'd ever be in a position to buy it.
No, not at all. It never occurred to us. Although the very first word I learned how to spell as a very small child was Markovitch. There are two spellings of Markovitch, and please don't ask me to spell them now, Pat. But I knew, of course I knew, I was called after Constance. Every Irish Constance is called after Constance Markovitch, and that's why my father called me after her.
Were you ever called Connie?
Nope. He says you're too small, you have to insist on your full name and your full title. So, no, Eddie saw it up for sale. He was very interested. I was in Sligo at the time doing a licensing case, so I came and I went down and I had a look at the house, and I thought it was very sad, very neglected, very cold, very damp. The smell was practically derelict, I thought. However, that didn't stop that husband of mine. He saw it as an opportunity. I suppose if you look at it this way, Eddie and I are self-employed. We're both barristers. We cannot leave any goodwill behind us. If we're there and we're up and running, that's how we earn our money.
You can't sell your business to anyone else.
You can't sell your business to anyone else, and that's how we're actually keeping Lissadel afloat. We're hoping eventually to make it self-sufficient.
Cathy Jordan is nodding her head in agreement as a musician. She knows the feeling.
I know. But so what we wanted to do was, we obviously were thinking of the kids. We'd 6 and a half at the time. Now they're 7. And every one of them is very interested in it. Eddie saw it. His vision was to turn it into a tourism project. But as a tourism project, yes, people want to come and see where Yeats came, where Constance came, where all these famous people came and wrote poetry. For example, Eva Gore Booth, a gay icon. One could never have thought at the time that she would be so famous. And Constance very much listened to Eva, who again had a very huge social conscience. So yes, Eddie's idea was to use it as a tourism project. So the way forward for us, COVID was interesting. We had to close down like every other business. So we closed down for 2.5 years and we're now just open again to the public. But we have a few little new ideas.
Tell me about the project itself. I mean, you talk about a building that even if it were to have been kept up, still wouldn't be fit for the 22nd century in terms of the cost of heating it and insulating it and so on. But it was neglected. It wasn't kept up.
It was neglected, but mainly because in the early 1900s, there were 200 people employed in Lissadel. Before the wardship of Sir Michael, who inherited the estate from his father, Sir Jocelyn, before that, which is when the Irish state took over the superintendence of Lissadel, there were about 80 people employed in Lissadel. The problem was that there were two ladies left to run Lissadel, and unfortunately, they fell out with the powers that be. They had a very, very hard time. They had no money at all. They were virtually destitute. They had to open the place in the 60s so they could get some sort of money. So when we took over the place, it was, yes, in a very sad and sorry state. Mm. So I suppose my job was to get the house cleaned, which is what we did for the first 2 years. Then we opened it to the public. Now it's beautifully refurbished and restored. Eddie then got mowing lawns and using his scythe and his pickaxe, as he does very effectively. And we have now restored a number of the houses on the estate, which were letting as rentals. And we have the place open to visitors. Constance's riding arena, as I say, is our commercial centre. And we're hoping that maybe sometime in the future we'll be using that for weddings.
Any regrets at all about this great project? Because you had a very famous litigation which you won, so we'll park that one. But any regrets, because it's been heartache along the way?
Yes, but everything involves heartache. Everything that is worthwhile involves heartache. Everybody knows heartache. I have absolutely no regrets. I would do it again, although I would prefer not to have been involved in the litigation. Lissadel is an absolutely magical place. What my husband has done to it, with a little help from me and the children, it's just such a wonderful place, and we love having people there, and long may we continue to do so.
Mm. Now, what would a visitor experience be like at Lissadel?
Well, hopefully the visitor will see me. The kids don't like my my informal gear when I'm there, but I have to go running around the place, so I do have to sometimes get out of the high heels. What the visitors will see is the coach house where Constance, as I say, learned how to ride the horse. We have a lovely little tea rooms. They will walk straight down our panoramic walk, and they will see the beautiful house, which was constructed in 1833 by Sir Robert, who got the money to do so from his second wife. In those days, when you got married, you had to bring a dowry. Fortunately, that little habit has now gone. But in any event, that's where he got the money to build the place. And it really is a fantastic, wonderful place. What I've tried to do, and it's hard to think of a mausoleum of a place like that turning into a family home, but that's what we've tried to do. And it's a wonderful, warm place. You talked about the cost of heating, Pat. In fact, the cost of heating is, for me, I just light the fires. And that really makes a big difference. It means the place is lovely and warm and friendly. So Eddie wanted to continue lighting the place with gas. I said to him, I don't think we'll get insurance, Eddie. I'm very glad now that we're on electricity, because the cost of gas at this stage seems to be going higher and higher. So the visitor will see a house restored as it was, we feel, when Constance was there in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. Eddie has filled it with paintings and literature from Yeats, George Russell, all the great Celtic Revival artists, many paintings from Constance herself, many paintings from Casimir, and he is still looking to get more stuff. So my job is to make sure he doesn't go to auctions or get onto his iPod or iPad and bid. But the place is a very magical place, and I think everybody who sees it is very happy with
now,
the way
you mentioned the social conscience of Constance's mother and grandmother, and I'm wondering, how did such a house survive the attentions of the War of Independence? Did the family have a good reputation? Because we all know about the connection between W.B. Yeats and the Rising and Constance, but I mean, how much of that was known locally that would have protected the house from attack?
I think there were two reasons that the house, this is only my feeling, but that there were two reasons that the house survived. One, Jocelyn Gore Booth was known, and the Gore Booth men were known as good and decent landlords. And for example, Jocelyn himself was very involved with Sir Horace Plunkett in founding the cooperative societies. And there are three cooperative creameries on the peninsula of Maharau, where Lissadel is. But second of all, I think in general, Constance Markovich was so admired by the general Irish public for what she stood for and for what she tried to achieve, that I think that probably did protect the house. That is just a feeling I have. I could be completely wrong, but that's what
you've had many eminent visitors. You had another internationally known poet called Leonard Cohen.
Mr. Cohen, yes. I was very sad that we just before Leonard Cohen died, and was it just before COVID or after? But anyway, we had chats with his agent, and we were hoping that he would repeat his visit, and unfortunately it didn't happen because he died. He was an amazing, amazing person. We had a wonderful time when he visited Lissadel.
Well, so many people passing your way. How often do you get to spend time there yourself, Constance?
All the time. All the time.
Oh, but you're a practicing barrister.
I am, yes. So I've got a lovely car. Now, it's not completely new, but it's probably a bit of a state of the art from the usual cars that I've driven. So that does help the 3-hour journey from Naas to Lissadell. So any spare time we get, we're in Lissadell. Every single weekend, of course. It's very, very hard when we land in Lissadell to take my husband away from Lissadell. But the kids do help me. They do gang up a little bit on him when I figure it is time to go home to the day job.
Let's clarify one thing. Not a penny of state money?
Not a penny, and never was. And Eddie wouldn't have any interest in it. It is his passion. It is his drive. It was his vision for Lissadell that has made myself and the children absolutely support him 100%. He's no interest in that. But we do, on the other hand, really want to make it self-sufficient, which is why we're branching out and why at the moment we have 3 of the beautiful old houses on the estate restored and we're letting them as rentals, 2 of which are on the sea. But you have to come and see it, Pat. I've asked you loads of times.
I know. I've been asked many times. I must get to spend time there. I'd love to, you know, rent one of your houses from you and spend time poking around the place.
Well, it's wonderful. It's wonderful because one of them is on the beach, one is practically on the sea, and we have some beautiful places to stay.
Well, you're named after her, and you didn't inherit the spirit, but you've certainly generated the spirit of Countess Constance Markovitz. And Constance Cassidy, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.